What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. We are going to go over some more off-season news, finish up our off-season catch-up, free agency mostly. Some big moves were made this off-season in teams in the Warriors Conference, not in the Warriors Conference, and the Warriors specifically. So we're going to get to that, and ESPN came out with win projections for each team, and there were some surprises in there, so we're going to touch on that as well. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Off-season catch-up. This will probably be the finale of our off-season catch-up. But, you know, if I miss anything, let me know. Anything you guys want to hear about. Like I've said, this podcast is for you, the listeners, the fans of the Warriors. So anything you guys want to talk about, hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415. Willing to go wherever you guys want. Going to talk a little bit about some off-season moves, specifically the Rockets, the Spurs. Maybe a little OKC. I think I touched on them last episode. But, yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about. Also, you know, let me know if you agree, disagree with some of my takes, as they say. You know, why I think the Rockets actually got worse and why I think OKC got better and things of that nature. So hit me up at CTH415. Podcast is for you guys. So, you know, let me know. Whatever you guys want to hear about, I'm game. So holler at me. But we are going to start with the Houston Rockets, who took the Warriors to 7 games in the Western Conference Finals. They did some great things against the Warriors. I would also maintain the Warriors kind of beat themselves at times against the Rockets. And there was all the talk of, you know, D'Antoni saying that they would have won if they had Chris Paul. And then, you know, Steve Kerr saying, well, if we had Andre Iguodala, we would have won in 5, which I kind of agree with. Or, you know, then it coming out that D'Antoni didn't say that, Kevin Durant misunderstood him, just all this other blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter because what happened is what happened. Warriors won, went on to win their 3rd championship in 4 years, back-to-back championships. And so the Rockets did play the Warriors very well, though. As we all know, and the biggest difference was their defense. Defensively, they were not a joke for the first time in a long time. First time I can remember James Harden being on a team where the defense wasn't terrible, and first time I can remember a Mike D'Antoni team being solid defensively. And a big part of that was PJ Tucker, who is still a Rocket. He's got 3 more years left on his deal, I believe. Underrated signing. And then there was also Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute. Ariza had been there. Luka Mbamute was another addition. Eric Gordon's not a terrible defender either. Chris Paul, another solid defender. So they were able to bring in good defensive pieces. And they basically built their system around trying to beat the Warriors, defensively at least. A lot of switching, off-ball switching, a lot of guys with great length, good defensive ability. Obviously, Ariza and Mbamute is mostly a defender. The biggest development in Mbamute's game this last year was he shot like 36% from 3. Defense was always going to be there, but his 3-point shooting was huge. And now they have let Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute walk. Let them both go. Trevor Ariza signed a $15 million, 1-year $15 million deal with the Suns, which I think good for him. I think it's something that was great for the Suns. I think it's something the Kings should have looked at. I think a lot of young teams should have looked at trying to bring him in. Luka Mbamute, another one, signed for, you know, 4.4, 1 year, 4.4 with the Clippers. Another solid deal for him. Another guy who I think, you know, some of these other teams should have thrown a little bit more money at. I mean, look, if Glenn Robinson, who is a guy I like, I thought he might have been a good fit with the Warriors. Just because of the way they play and the way he plays and blah, blah, blah. If he can get 2 years, $8 million, I'm surprised Mbamute couldn't find something like that. But, you know, it's today's NBA. And something else about the Rockets, in letting those guys go, like, I would have understood it more if they said, you know what, we're an old team. We need to get younger because I might be a year off on some of these guys, but I think Ariza's 32 or 33, and Bamute, same thing. PJ Tucker's 32. Chris Paul is 32, 33. They're old. They're an old team. And maybe if the idea was, hey, we're going to let some of these good players go and bring in young guys because we need to get younger, kind of what the Warriors were trying to do, and they did a little bit of, not a ton, I would understand it more. But they brought in, is it Tyler Ennis or James Ennis? I don't know, one of the Ennis brothers who was with Detroit, who fits the mold, you know, 6'7", solid defender, potentially can shoot threes, and maybe, you know, the D'Antoni touch will turn him into a better player, but I don't see it. And then it hasn't become official yet, but Carmelo Anthony is going to be a Rocket. And I, you know, people out there who are higher on Carmelo, shout out you guys. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know why you're higher on him. I think he's washed. I do think he could fill a role in today's NBA. But I don't think he's willing to fill that role, if you get what I'm saying. I think he looks at the banana boat crew and sees guys like Chris Paul and LeBron who, you know, play 30 minutes a game and are the number one or, you know, 1A options on their teams. And I think he still sees himself as that. I think he needs to look at Dwayne Wade and see himself as that. Dwayne Wade, you know, came off the bench for Cleveland. He, you know, rotated back and forth between starting coming off the bench. And then in Miami, I think he started, but regardless, he played more of a bench role, you know, playing like 20 minutes a game, limiting his shots, higher efficiency, didn't make himself the focal point of the team. Where Carmelo, if he can do that, I think he'll be more valuable. Not, you know, he's not going to be a game changer or anything, but I don't see him mentally being able to do that as far as what we saw in New York and in OKC last year. He doesn't sound like he's really willing to do any of that. So I just think the idea of exchanging Trevor Ariza, Luke and Bamute for Carmelo Anthony is terrible. But, you know, what do I know? Rockets also had a second round draft pick, I think, this year. Was it Melton out of USC? I'm not sure. But a second rounder, you know, and maybe they found their Pat McCaw type and found an immediate contributor, which would help them. But it's a team that got worse, if you ask me. And, you know, going from first to maybe second or third, it's not terrible. There's still a lock to make the playoffs, if you ask me. They're still really good, but definitely don't have a much worse chance against the Warriors this year. I think last year was the year they could have gotten them, honestly. And I don't think they have a chance this year. And also, I don't think owners get enough credit for this. When they're willing to pay the luxury tax and go the extra mile like Joe Lacob did with Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, two guys who were and are integral to, you know, the Warriors' success, the Rockets weren't willing to do that. I mean, you could make comparisons to Mbamute and Ariza that they are, you know, similar to Iguodala and Livingston as far as the Rockets' success is concerned. And Joe Lacob is willing to go above and beyond and pay that luxury tax for those guys where the Rockets are not. I think it's Fertitta brother who's the owner there. And maybe it's different when you're winning championships. But if you believe that this team should have beat the Warriors, I would run this team back and pay the tax. But it's not my money, so who knows. But that's part of also why I like what OKC did, is even though they got off Carmelo's money and, you know, tried to lower their luxury tax payment, they brought back Schroeder, still have a large luxury tax bill and are willing to pay it to keep guys like Paul George, Jeremy Grant, and then bring in guys that are getting paid like Schroeder. Timothy Wawu Cabarro was part of the trade also, who I think will help. I like what OKC did, honestly. I think they're going to be really good this year. But that's something we'll also get to in a little bit. ESPN came out with win projections, and I was kind of surprised where they had OKC. But I guess it also makes sense because they didn't add too much. I mean, they added maybe a little bit of depth, but that really doesn't swing win projections that high. So anyways, back to the Rockets. I don't like what they did. I don't like what they're doing. maybe because what we saw with them this last year was the fact that they would Harden and Chris Paul worked because they didn't have to work together. If you get what I'm saying, what they would do, they would start the game. Chris Paul would come out after 2-3 minutes, and then he would come in later in the first quarter. Harden would come out, and it was ISO. It was heavy, heavy ISO between Harden and Chris Paul. And what does Carmelo Anthony do? Carmelo Anthony is an ISO player. So maybe the plan is for him to take some of that ISO, some of Chris Paul's ISO minutes or ISO touches to lessen Chris Paul's load and hopefully help him, you know, stay healthy throughout the year in the playoffs. But honestly, I don't know if that's going to happen. I think what's most likely is that Carmelo is going to be the next guy to stand in the corner on the wing and watch James Harden or Chris Paul dribble, 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 dribble. And then if there's no lane there, no shot for him, they kick it out and Carmelo has to take a shot with, you know, 4 seconds left on the shot clock. Because that's what they did last year and it worked. But I don't know if Carmelo is going to be willing to do that or how effective he'll be at doing that. So we'll see. But I don't agree with the moves they've made this year. I don't agree with bringing in Carmelo. And let me tell you real quick, the Clint Capella stuff, man. I understand restricted free agency. I think he got screwed, honestly. I think he got screwed with that deal. I know 5 years, $90 million is good, but he definitely should have been up there with the Rudy Gobert, Steven Adams deals that were $100 million. So he got hurt that no one made him an offer. And maybe it's just one of those timing things where he became a free agent the wrong year. You know, like Allen Crabbe and Kent Bazemore and Evan Turner all were free agents the perfect year because it got them all $70-plus million. I think it was 2016, right? I think Clint Capella was just a free agent the wrong year, and he got played. And there's $10 million in incentive, so really it's 5 years, $80 million. That sucks. I think there were plenty of teams that should have gone after him. I think Dallas should have. The fact that Dallas is paying DeAndre Jordan $24 million this year, why don't you just go give Clint Capella a max offer? He's a younger DeAndre Jordan. Maybe we'll even end up being better. I don't get that. And if the argument is, well, Houston would match any offer you made, would they? They didn't come out and say that. And even if it's, you know, common knowledge or common rumors or anything like that, I would still make an effort to go get him. So I don't get it. I think the Kings, it's kind of hindsight with the Kings because I didn't think they would have had an opportunity to get Capella. I thought Capella would have been signed immediately to a massive deal. And once they drafted Bagley, that killed the Capella going to the Kings. But there's bad teams out there that could use him, didn't offer him, and he got stuck with a deal with Houston. And it takes a lot of guts to say you're just going to play for your qualifying offer and turn down $90 million. So I get why he took the $90 million, but I just think he got played on that deal, and that's too bad. We'll see if that affects him and his attitude with the Rockets. I doubt it will, but man, I thought he should have gotten more. Anyways, so that's the Houston Rockets offseason. I think they got worse. I don't think they're in play for the number one seed. I think it's kind of similar to the Warriors, though. They're at the point where just make the playoffs. We're going to be fine in the playoffs. So, you know, we'll play hard, but I think it's going to be tough for them to find that fire every night that we've kind of seen with the Warriors last year, where they just kind of struggled to find motivation some nights. I know injuries played a part in it too, but it was some nights were tough for the Warriors. And that's one other thing I've been meaning to say when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins. All the benefits of DeMarcus Cousins being there on the court, you know, the fact that the center position has been a position of need for the Warriors for a while. I'm excited to see Damian Jones get some minutes this year too, but I think one of the main benefits is it gives the Warriors motivation to play better. And I know that sounds weird, but when Kevin Durant came, it wasn't just Kevin Durant. It was Kevin Durant, Zaza Pachulia, David West, JaVale McGee. Who else? I think it was Pat McCaw's first year. Like, there were a lot of new guys that they wanted to play well for and get a ring for. And I think you're going to see that with DeMarcus Cousins. I think they're going to be motivated to try and make it work also. So I think it's another piece that, another aspect of why I think the DeMarcus Cousins deal is a good one. And you guys will notice that with me. I will have random points that I feel like I missed from previous shows, so I'll just drop them in when I remember them. And that was one of them. So there it is. Houston Rockets. DeMarcus Cousins to the Warriors. Another benefit. Come on back. Huge trade happened in the NBA. Wasn't sure if it was going to happen, and we're going to look at how it could affect the Warriors and how it could affect the Eastern Conference as well. Terrible tease, but come on back. Locked On Warriors, Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I just gave you guys a terrible tease about a trade. It was obviously Kawhi Leonard being traded from the San Antonio Spurs to the Toronto Raptors. And it was good trade, both sides. I mean, what the hell? It's hard to really bash a trade where the Raptors are taking a chance on what was a top three, four player, probably four to five, whatever, top five player in the NBA 2 years ago. And the Spurs getting back an all-star in the East. He's not going to be an all-star in the West. The West is so stacked that DeMar DeRozan will not be an all-star in the West, but a very good player in exchange for him. They also got Jakob Poeltl. Probably said both those names wrong, but a former first-round pick, a good center for them where they're kind of weak up front. I mean, yes, they have Aldridge, who's been really good these last couple years. I know he gets, you know, clowned on and hated on, but he's a really good player. And what, they have Pau Gasol. Like, their front court is kind of weak. So getting Poeltl was kind of huge for them. And DeMar DeRozan, it's a nice piece back. It's also, it's tough because we fall in love with potential and the potential of a high draft pick or something, you know, oh, well, that could be the next superstar. Instead, they got a commodity that they know what it is. They know what DeMar DeRozan is, and he's a really good player. And it also says that they're going to try and continue to make the playoffs and make runs and not, you know, go into full rebuild mode, especially with Pop. Pop at this point in his career, I don't think he wants to do that. That's not something he wants to take on. And if that was the way they were going to go, I mean, I have no intel or anything. Pop might think about retiring. But, you know, he's a coacher, a lifelong coach, and also with the tragedy that he faced this last season with the passing of his wife, it's kind of similar to the Andy Reid situation a couple years ago when he lost his son and people were saying he might hang it up, and he said, no, this makes me want to coach more. This gets my mind off things. This is, you know, kind of my sanctuary. And I think Pop is one of those guys also. Who knows how long he'll stick around. But anyways, I just took a left turn into some heavier stuff. So let's go back to the team in the trade. So we'll start with the Toronto just because they're in the East, and so that affects the Warriors a little less. It really, the only time it could affect the Warriors if they meet them in the finals, which I, even with the depth Toronto has, it's hard for me to see them beating Boston. But Boston, you look at them as good as they were last year, and you look at it as, oh, well, this is, you know, a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals and is adding Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Okay, but we don't know how good that's going to work. Yes, in theory, they should be better, but maybe not. You know, maybe taking away touches from Tatum and Brown, you know, hurts their team a little bit. And maybe Rozier coming off the bench, you know, isn't as effective as when he was, you know, starting and getting buckets in the playoffs. Who knows? But I still would pick Boston over Toronto. But, you know, who knows? We got to watch Toronto and see them because they just added Kawhi Leonard. So I like the move for Toronto. You have a chance to go get a guy like Kawhi Leonard. You do it. I don't care what the contract situation is. Trust yourself in being able to keep him. I love that. And people want to use the Paul George situation as an example of, you know, you might be able to stick around. Yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely. And if he does leave, you just got off DeMar DeRozan's contract. Like, I think what they gave up isn't too huge. I also would have been intrigued, though, to see this team with DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, you know, run it back and see how they do against other Eastern Conference teams in the playoffs, because were they that mentally weak against everyone, or was it just LeBron who owned real estate in their minds in the playoffs, you know? But we're not going to get to see it, so it doesn't matter. But I like the move. I also think the Lakers, I don't know what they were doing sitting on their hands. I would have given whatever I had to get Kawhi if I was the Lakers, but they didn't, and maybe they're counting on being able to get him as a free agent, but, you know, they did that with Paul George, and Paul George is not a Laker, as we all know. So I like it for the Raptors. Why not? Why the hell not? You have a chance to go get Kawhi Leonard, do it. And they got another solid wing also in Danny Green, so that just adds more depth to their team. Even though Danny Green isn't what he once was, still a damn good player. So there's the Raptors side. The Spurs are intriguing to me because if you look at their wing slash guard depth, it's pretty deep. Pretty deep, depending on where you fall with some of these young guys. But DeJounte Murray, Derek White, I believe, out of Colorado, Lonnie Walker, the other rookie, Patty Mills, Bryn Forbes, Manu Ginobili, potentially. I think there's even more. They got Rudy Gay. They're interesting to me. They're very interesting. And obviously LaMarcus Aldridge, Jakob Poeltl, Pau Gasol, which, by the way, I think Pau's still a player that can contribute, but that contract they gave him was crazy. They gave him the Andre Iguodala contract, and he is not Andre Iguodala. So I'm intrigued by the Spurs. I think they have that kind of New England Patriots deal also where they'll get a player and you're like, oh, this guy, DeMar DeRozan's good, but I don't know how good he is in the West. But then you also think, oh, well, but it's Popovich, the Popovich touch. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I'm intrigued by the Spurs for all those reasons I mentioned. Their roster already I'm intrigued by. Also Popovich, one of the best coaches of all time. See what he can maybe get out of these guys. So I like the move for them. I don't know what other trades were out there. And like I said, we fall in love with potential. I might have wanted to go younger and go, draft picks as well. They did get a 2019 protected draft pick, I think 1 through 20. So it'll just be another late first round draft pick. But they've been able to find, solid pieces late in the first round. So we'll see what that turns into. But I'm intrigued by the Spurs. I think it was solid. And the biggest part for them is they get to just move on. They just get to move on. We're done. Kawhi, whatever, man. This was ugly. It's over, and we get to move on. Kawhi, to me, is the one that has some, I don't know, what's the term I'm looking for? Like, image rehab that he has to do? Like, the Spurs, they're good, as far as I'm concerned. I think they might have handled Kawhi wrong in some aspects, but at the same time, he's gone, and all they have to do is go back and play basketball. Same thing with Kawhi, but I think he has more work to do than the Spurs do as far as getting back in the good graces with everyone, if he even cares about that. I mean, who knows? But that is the Spurs and the Raptors. Massive trade for Kawhi Leonard. I think one of the positives is Kawhi Leonard's not in the West anymore, at least as far as the Warriors are concerned. Again, I wouldn't pick the Spurs against the Warriors, not at all, but I do think they did a good job of treading water, I guess you could say, with the trade. I mean, they won 47 games last year without Kawhi, and now they're adding DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl. So we'll see what happens with them. I don't count them out of the playoffs. I would almost count them as a lock for the playoffs, honestly, just because it's Popovich. They've made it 18, 19 years straight. So, until they don't make it, I'm going to pick them to make it. Are they a challenger against the Warriors? Probably not. But could they beat the Rockets? I don't know. I'll have to see what the Rockets are without, two massive pieces that they had last year. So that's the Spurs and the massive trade that I had mentioned. ESPN came out with some win projections earlier and a couple interesting ones I just wanted to touch on. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Warriors, or welcome back, I guess. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over some of the off-season news that kind of affects the Warriors. Some of their biggest challengers got a little worse, or maybe a little better with the Spurs. Who knows? I mean, it's tough to say you got better without Kawhi Leonard, but considering they didn't have him last year and won 47 games, I guess they got better because they added DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl. I don't know if you guys can tell. I like saying that. But ESPN came out with some win projections the other day, and it's pretty pretty complicated, I guess, how you do this and how they came up with it and all that. But I just wanted to touch on some of them. They actually have the Raptors with the highest projected wins in the Eastern Conference at 55. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Boston projected at 53. Sixers, 47.8. Where do you guys stand on the Sixers? Are we annoyed with them or what? I don't know, man. People love them, and I'm kind of like, they had one solid year with a bunch of guys who have missed a bunch of time. So we'll see. I don't know. That was just a random thought. But let me know. CTH415. Are we annoyed with the Sixers and Joel Embiid? Western Conference. As I'm sure you could guess, Golden State Warriors, 58.6 wins, more than anyone, three more than Toronto, five more than Utah, who was actually projected for the second highest, 53.4. Utah's always kind of a second thought when it comes to stuff like this, or just talking about this upcoming season. I don't know if it's because they're in Utah or what. I think they're going to be nice. I think they're going to continue to be real nice, but we'll see. I mean, it could just be an outlier. Could be one great year from, you know, a rookie in Donovan Mitchell. I mean, it all kind of sits on Donovan Mitchell's shoulders and how good he can become. I mean, don't forget Grayson Allen. Is there a better fit than Grayson Allen in Utah? Maybe Boston and maybe the Warriors, just because everyone hates the Warriors. But, I mean, those are the top three spots, and he landed in one of them. He's going to be very hated. But he's misunderstood, you guys. Come on. Houston Rockets at 53. Denver Nuggets projected with 50. That's interesting. It's not something we talked about. Not something I planned on talking about, really. But Denver is good. Denver's pretty good. I thought they did great. I mean, obviously, re-signing Jokic, I don't think he was going to go anywhere. But keeping Will Barton, I thought, was huge. And it's funny. It's one of those situations where a player that you like who's underpaid, for me personally at least, I like Will Barton. I think he's really good and was underpaid. Now he's paid properly. Is it going to be the same now? Like, will I feel the same now that he's making, you know, what, I think $13 million a year? Or am I going to think he's not as good now that he's getting paid, you know, a substantial amount? Anyways, who knows? But the most interesting one to me was OKC projected at 47. Yeah, I don't know. That's the sixth seed, at least the six most wins, projected wins, in this article. And even though I'm high on what they did, yeah, they were a, you know, 46, 47 win team last year. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder doesn't really move the needle that much. And as far as, yes, I like the fact that they added talent in Dennis Schroeder. It's a very combustible situation there with him and Russ. It's kind of similar to him and Reggie Jackson. I don't know if they can honestly be on the floor together at the same time. We'll see if they try it, but I don't know. I do not know. And Jeremy Grant's kind of the same. I like Jeremy Grant a lot, but now he's paid properly. He's not underpaid anymore. He's making, you know, $9+ million a year. Am I going to think he's still, now that he's getting paid better? It's just one of those things. Anyways, this has been Locked On Warriors. I think this is the final off-season catch-up. If I missed anything, you guys, from this last month, you haven't had a Locked On Warriors, let me know. We'll gladly talk about it. Get at me on Twitter, at CTH415. Anything you guys want to talk about, let me know, especially in this next month or so with no basketball. This podcast is for you guys. I'm going to try and get some guests on and, you know, have some nice conversations, but it's for you guys, so let me know. Let me know what you guys want to hear about, and if I missed anything. I think I got everything, but holler at me. Let me know. Everyone have a fun, safe weekend. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.